This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Good morning, folks. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hope you had a great weekend. It was a great day yesterday. Beautiful weather. I'm so glad for both the Mardi Gras crew of the crew of Vargas, as well as the St. Patrick's Day committee parade that went yesterday. And we were very excited about the St. Patrick's Day committee and the Grand Marshal there. And having been a former Grand Marshal of that parade in 2009, had some very fond memories and got to see a lot of old faces there out on the parade route as well. Our thoughts are with the St. Aug band member that went down. That caused a little bit of a delay in the crew of Argus yesterday. I know there were a lot of people talking about a lot of different things, and it was a somewhat of a serious leg injury, I believe, and we hope that he is recovering safely today. I don't know if he tripped or whatever, but it was as the band was marching down the road. So our thoughts are with them, and best of luck to that St. Aug band member. Got a great show lined up for you today. Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, joins us. We'll talk about some fraud issues, toll tag fraud, home warranty fraud. We'll talk about inflation, credit scores, and student loans, what's going on with the stock market. At 11:30, we'll visit with Yulia Zeskina, senior legal fellow at Razome. We've had several people with the Razome organization on this show talking about what's going on in Ukraine. She wrote an article a while back, an opinion piece, that the Biden administration had fumbled a chance to act on a clear bipartisan green light to seize frozen Russian state assets and use them to fund Ukraine's defense and rebuilding. We know there's about $5 billion, could it be as much as $7 billion. Some of the interest on these accounts have been utilized in the interim. And as Yulia points out, what's the next step? And we'll talk about that with her. Jesse Noel joins us, Regional Director, Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority West, starting out the 11 o'clock hour. Early voting's going on now on constitutional amendments and this millage election for the funding and financing of that Flood Protection Authority. We'll talk about what they do, why this is important. The election is on March 29th. Some very important issues. Get out and vote early. Or go out on election day, but don't not vote. There are a lot of constitutional amendments on there. I think we're going to have Parr on the show tomorrow talking about each and every one of them. Some of them are a little confusing, so we hope to dig deep to provide, I guess for lack of a better term, a good tutorial for you to gain a better understanding of what it is that you are actually voting on. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A, joins us at 10:30. We'll talk first about the mayor and, you know, kind of ignoring the ordinance relative to restriction of travel. She went to Washington, D.C. Don't know who paid for it. Don't know what that's all about. Hopefully we'll get some more information this morning as we move forward with the waning days of the Cantrell administration. For some, we're not moving fast enough. And they would hope that this would get over sooner rather than later. I would probably fall into that category. Like many of you, I am done. And it's just the conflict, the friction, the arrogance, the inability to move this place forward. Every day we lose, we don't get it back. We're arguing about all kinds of crazy things. The mayor takes the fifth in a civil service hearing over a promotion list. Really? We can't even hear from the mayor who takes or attempted to take administrative action to stand in the way of the implementation and the utilization of a grading system to make rank in the NOPD. She said there was bias. There are a lot of folks that weren't sure what this is all about. Well, I think the chief shed some light on that. She said the only person that was asked about by the mayor was Sabrina Richardson. Go figure. The person who was demoted for taking money on a police detail that she wasn't even there. They put her in the ninth ward while she's collecting money, supposedly working at the racetrack. Most people in most universes, in most countries, in most counties, parishes, or towns, would consider that fraud. She engaged in that activity, in that conduct, while she was the head of the Public Integrity Bureau. Wow. What a contradiction that is. So when it comes time to judge Sabrina Richardson, I guess basically what the mayor was asking is that she did her mea culpas, she got disciplined, and she's ready to move on to continue her travels upward to the peaks of rank within the NOPD. What's that? Not so fast. It's not like taking a shower and you rid yourself of your bad behavior and your lack of judgment and the fact that you have little or no ethics because you're judging other people for the same conduct, all the while engaging in that conduct. And for some reason, this particular leader, the mayor, that is, I know it's confusing, believes that she would be the most qualified candidate to be promoted. And that the bias was is that we used her own conduct, her own failures, her own lapse in judgment, the inability of probably ever being able to put her on the stand again. She has no credibility. You've heard me say this a million times in talking about officers. You're in the credibility business, not the police business. Because without credibility, you are no value to the organization. None. Except if you're the friend of the mayor and you work for the NOPD. Somehow or another, you live your life in an unethical way, and she can wave a magic wand, and it all goes away. And anyone who judges you based on your conduct, recent conduct, in a way that may impact Sabrina Richardson negatively, is biased. And if you're white, you're probably racist too. Interesting how that works. that the mayor believes that she can absolve all of the unethical behavior and everything else that goes along with that, the sins of honesty and integrity, and have someone move on and be considered for whatever position they feel like they would want to achieve. Without having spent much time trying to prove themselves to the organization that they learned from their mistakes, that they've been able to overcome this for a period of time. How much time it should be, I don't know. It's an arbitrary figure. But what we do know is that the first time that you're capable of sitting for the exam, not because of your conduct, but because of that's the first opportunity, maybe that's not the right time, right? Maybe you need to skip a couple of these opportunities before you actually sit for the exam and try to compel the entity to right the wrong in your view. I think most everybody else's view is too soon. Too soon. You haven't had to experience the accountability factor, punishment for your lapse in judgment and your possible criminal behavior, because she could have legitimately been charged. In fact, they have charged NOPD officers for similar acts, not this person. This one has that word, what is it? No, it couldn't be. Privilege? No. Come on. She's not white. She's black. How could that be? How could you have that kind of privilege? Not sure. Maybe we should have an investigation and get to the bottom of this. Because in society today, this is just not how it works. This runs counter to everything that we've been talking about for the last 3 to 4 years. In other words, this is impossible. So we should probably have her sit for that exam. We should probably erase her entire history. We should probably not take into consideration anything that's ever said about her and move on. Well, hopefully and thankfully, the U.S. didn't take that course of action against the Houthis. I want to applaud the Trump administration for staying the course. The Houthis have been a thorn in our side, in the Red Sea shipping channels and the Strait of Hormuz and everywhere else, acting like they're some incredible power, military power. It's time to put them in their place. They're a gnat. It's time to slap them back and to do it repeatedly. And every time they want to launch a drone at one of our U.S. assets, the drone needs to be shot down, and then some other critical infrastructure in Yemen needs to disappear. And it's not just removing that immediate threat of the drone. It's sending the message that we're not going to take this any longer. And if Iran is going to continue to fund and finance you, they're going to have to give you more, not less, to keep this silliness going and putting all the lives of our U.S. military men and women at risk, as well as our other allies that are attempting to ship goods that are necessary to sustain life for many folks, because those are the ships that are being targeted. And here we are. And I don't know that there's been reluctance in the previous administration. There are a lot of people that want to say that. I don't care. I want to live in the now. And I want to make sure that we continue to send that message to these folks that we're not going to tolerate their behavior. And just keep putting pressure on. And every time that they attempt to do something or they successfully do something, we make them pay. and pay dearly. And maybe, just maybe, they'll figure this out. That maybe this, the course of action that they're taking, is not boding very well for them. I mean, the big challenge for the U.S. is figuring out just how meaningful a target they can find. Because there's not very much meaningful going on in Yemen in the first place. That's probably the biggest challenge, is how can we send our million-dollar rockets to take something out that we're going to get an adequate return on our investment? Well, maybe we're just at that point in time that we don't need to go through this exercise, and we can just inflict the pain where we need to inflict the pain, get the message across that this isn't going to stop. No matter how much these little bombs cost, every time that you want to take some aggressive action towards a U.S. asset, U.S. citizens, or any of our allies, you will pay dearly. So this first action was done over the weekend. I was reading about it. I applaud the fact that they continue to target terrorist-controlled assets there, to include the airport, the TV station, the main command center in Al-Jarraf. In western Yemen, and continue to take these assets out over and over and over again. Take out the entire communication system in this country. Take out other critical assets. And maybe they'll get the message. And maybe when they go looking at Iran, Iran says, no, we don't have the money to do so. We're not going to be in a position to continue to fund and finance these operations. We're going in a different direction, because there are a lot of folks that believe that they should not be able to, Iran that is, maintain their nuclear research and what they're doing in production, trying to move to developing a grade for nuclear bombs, and that we need to disrupt that at the present time as well. Also over the weekend, a poll came out. Nobody did well. It was interesting. It's almost as if the citizens in this country are really falling, you know, Congress, Democrats, Republicans, Congress, all falling out of favor with voters. The Democratic Party's favorability rating stands at 29%. According to CNN, they've been polling this issue going back to 1992, and this is the lowest it has ever been. And CNN is characterizing this as a historic collapse in public perception. They were disenchanted with Joe Biden. They continue to be disenchanted with Democrats. And quite frankly, the Republicans aren't doing much better. They stand at 36%. They're 7 points higher than the Democratic Party, which that's a good thing for sure. But it's not like they're feeling all warm and fuzzy either. The independents seem to favor the Democrats a little bit more than where they're breaking with the Republicans because of some of the most recent actions that have been taken by the Republicans, and that's where the battle is going to lie in the future, is going to be on the independent vote. Where they go, more often than not, is where these elections are going to go. And so always watch the independent vote as to see where they are actually going. It's also interesting to kind of monitor the numbers of both Democrats and Republicans that are now switching party and becoming independents. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well. All right, folks, got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Councilman Joe Geruso, Council Member District A. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Newell.
Joe, I hope things are going well, although I know that y'all have been in the midst of yet another, I guess it's safe to call it a crisis as to what the rules are, what the law is, and what you're able to do. The mayor travels to Washington, D.C., seems to be in a violation of what y'all had passed. Tell us about it.
Well, the mayor, as you pointed out, traveled to D.C. for the mayor's conference. It also looks like, based on social media posts, that she had some meetings with the Louisiana congressional delegation. That's a good thing, but the question is on whose nickel the mayor went there. And, of course, we've said if the travel is either essential or pursuant to a federal grant, then fine. But if it's not, then you can't use city funds to go on these trips. If we're allegedly in this financial crisis, then things like travel and other things should be put in abeyance for the time being. And I just think, Newell, I've been thinking about this over the weekend, knowing I was going to come on the show. For me, it's a couple things. Number one, the way the press release has been written and the fact that we haven't heard what the funds are just, to me, screams, just tell people what funds were used, how it was used. And number two, I saw that The mayor met with Senator Cassidy and Congressman Carter. There could have been others. Great. That's what we want mayors to do, is go meet with our congressional leaders. We know city and state budgets are going to be impacted likely by Trump economics. So what does that mean? And I think that's the second part of it is you may not be able to release all the details of that meeting. I'm sure some of it is even they don't know themselves what the impact is going to be. But it certainly seems at this point that we can identify federal programs that are either on or likely to be on the chopping block. And then how do we work with our partners around the state in trying to mitigate those things? And I think that would go a long way to helping the public and its consciousness about the need for travel and what's going on.
She also attended a meeting, right, of some mayors or something up there?
Right. There was I don't know, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, I think, was the meeting that was there, too. And again, I don't know what that is and what that's about or what they do. And look, I think, again, we're sort of in a if we're in an austerity period, we're in an austerity period. And I watched Councilmember Morrell ask the administration twice at our special budget meeting, do we need to be on austerity? And twice they said yes. So, okay, we're going to take your word that that's where we need to be. But at the same time, what are the things that we need to be focused on here in the city? What should we be doing? And what are the things that we need to move the city forward? And, of course, I think everybody saw the front page of the paper yesterday. Residents are worn down about the lack of delivery of basic city services. And I think, number one, that is not a partisan issue. And number two, if we really want to kind of turn around the way people see New Orleans and the area, then how we address getting potholes fixed, lights changed, just those basic day-to-day critical services is where our efforts should be lying over the next 300 days.
Joe, you're the head of the budget committee, right? I mean, are we in austerity period?
I think the answer to that is no. I know that the administration is going to come back to us in April and explain what the revenues were for 2024 and where we stand. And look, Newell, there's no doubt that the council inserted additional spending items into the budget that were not the mayor's. But it doesn't mean that the city is in the red as a result of that, number one. And number two, I've said all along that I think we should cast a concerned eye with what's going on in D.C. and Baton Rouge and make sure we know what we need to do as a result of that. But a concerned eye doesn't mean being an alarmist. And I think the last time I was on the show, you kind of went through item by item that was in the administration's PowerPoint presentation. And many of those things were not truly expense side issues. They involved other factors. And look, the news also is pretty rosy on how the Super Bowl and certainly how Mardi Gras did this year. So I think my guess is we probably collected more revenue certainly on Mardi Gras than was anticipated and certainly more than we did last year. So I think it's too early to sound the alarm bell. And at the same time, it just means we should be in constant and close communication. And as I've said all along, this involves balance. And the council is, in this instance, the appropriating body and one that has some ideas of its own about what it wants to appropriate funds to. And how do we work the best between both branches of government to provide a budget that does the right things, that provides the crucial services, and that moves the city forward?
Sure, but this administration really hadn't been really big on transparency, right? I mean, you know, the mayor goes into a civil service hearing this past week and pleads the fifth. I mean, you just don't see that often. I mean, you know, she interjected herself into a promotional process. The chief admits on the stand that she asked about one person, Sabrina Richardson, who we know, as a result of an internal investigation, committed fraud, and you know she got demoted, and I think got some time, and that's what that is. And I gotta imagine that now her legal team has assessed that maybe her conduct rises to the level of somebody's violation of their constitutional rights, and that she has a problem. You know, and y'all have had a difficult time getting her to answer any questions on any front. When we look at the satisfaction of the litigation with the school board, you know, it's not being very transparent there either.
Yeah. Well, I get frustrated from at least my perspective. I can't speak for all my colleagues. When I hear people say, well, I wish the council and the mayor wouldn't fight as much. I don't wake up any morning saying I hope to fight with LaToya Cantrell today. What I want to do is make sure that kids are taken care of, that the streets are fixed, the lights are changed, blight is knocked down, grass is picked up, trash is picked up, that we're doing the basic city services that we have. And I just think for whatever reason, we have very philosophical differences on providing information. And as a lawyer and as a litigator, one of the things that I've learned is if you withhold something from the other side, their natural instinct is to say, aha, this is bad for you, and that's the reason you don't want to give it. The public thinks the same thing when government withholds information from it, too. And sometimes it's not bad information. Sometimes it's just the way things are and the way things are going to change. And we, unfortunately, I feel like need to spoon feed what this information is. To the point about austerity and sort of what's going on, we're having a budget committee meeting this Thursday. And part of that meeting is going to be about the FEMA road work and where it stands in process and what's going to be done and what isn't going to be done. And I think the public needs and deserves a right to know those things. And candidly, I'm glad we have a forum to do that, but I don't know that's the council that has to or should be leading that charge in this instance. But that's where we are, and as long as we're here, we're going to keep on trying to push forward and get answers on the things that we know our constituents and residents are asking us about the most.
You know, Joe, I mean, I just, going back to this travel, I made the observation in a monologue the other day that, and I had these instances, right? We had folks that had, we had a process where you could check out a credit card when you were traveling to pay for certain things. And if you abused it, right, once we did our review, our audit review of the billing for that trip, and if we found that you charged things that you're not allowed to charge on the credit card, it happens. You give them an opportunity to pay the department back. If they refuse, you dock their pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and it's absolutely ludicrous that we have to deal with the elected official in this fashion, but why not modify this ordinance to put that provision simply in there? You have an opportunity to pay it back, and if not, we're docking your pay.
And
you want to go gallivant all over the country? We'll just keep docking your pay. I mean, you know, and maybe then you'll get the message. Or some pre-approval process, you know, so you're not in the rears trying to chase after an explanation. You're not allowed to travel unless the council approves your travel plan and your expenditure set.
Right.
That's how other city employees are dealt with. I mean, for the most part, most cities that are forward-leaning, you put in a request, you delineate and outline all the expenses, yada, yada, and it goes up the chain of command, somebody approves it, and then you can go.
Look, at my first law firm I practiced at, if you didn't enter your time within a specific period of time, they weren't paying you. And so it was a real incentive to make sure that you entered your time because that's your widget for which you got paid. I think I would prefer a pre-approval process so that way we're all clear and it's consistent on the same page. Of course, I can hear people saying, well, that's going to be political, and you guys are just going to say no to everything. But I look, there, that has been the one issue we have dealt with a lot in the back end of the travel is, well, what are the consequences? And I think that's one of the things that we're going to have to look about, what are the consequences? And within that context, there's sort of two questions. One, are we truly at an austerity plan? Because I feel like the media is in a, well, we have two different branches of government saying two different things. And so the information needs to become public. And then the second part is, what do you do about what's happened and if travel isn't supposed to happen and how you deal with that? And I think that will probably be the next thing that is dealt with.
But separate and apart from that issue, she's a lame duck mayor. And it's not like they have a history of implementing programs where they learn of certain things in a very effective and efficient way. So if she goes off and she travels and she goes to this conference, that conference, whatever, she learns of certain things, the likelihood of her being able to come back and affect change as a result of those new programs and implemented in the city are slim and none, and you know, slim just walked out the door. So, you know, it ain't going to happen. So what's the ROI? There is none. So it's almost as if you could talk to John Kennedy on the phone. I mean, why waste all this money for a lame duck mayor who's probably spending more time trying to figure out what she's going to do in her afterlife as opposed to really advocating on behalf of the city? I mean, I just don't see the benefit.
Yeah. I think there's places where I get being in a room with somebody, you and I both know that sometimes looking across and having a conversation is slightly different than a phone call or a Zoom. I also understand fully that people are worn down on traveling and other emboldenments. And to your point, what do you get as a result of that? And as somebody who is himself a lame duck, I'm firmly of a mindset of I have essentially 8-9 months left. And there's only so many more things I can get done. I know that before I leave. And So can you check the box on those things and get them done? And look, again, I think there's a difference between I traveled for some program that's never going to happen during my term versus I went to go see the governor about something that's going to impact city revenues. And it was important to be in the same room with someone too. So my hope is, can we bridge that divide and make sure that we have those more clearly delineated?
Yeah, I know. Look, I get it. But, I mean, you know, what I also get, it took 2 years to get streetlights up in the French Quarter. Street signs have yet to be finished in the French Quarter. So when you're talking about these menial tasks that need to be done, if we have some overarching policy thing like climate, you know, how many climate conferences has she gone to? Has there been the implementation of one program? I think the city bought 12 EV cars. How many climate conferences do we have to go to? 12 to get 12 cars?
I certainly get the, to your point, that's always been my bottom line, is I'm not going to have a travel is verboten and we can never learn anything. But as you just said, what is ROI? What do you get as a result? And how is that being implemented? And also to your point, I had a staffer this weekend who sent me a picture that the city put up street signs new on Harrison that says Harrison Boulevard, not Harrison Avenue. And so, great, we spent this money to erect new signs, but the signage itself is wrong, and now we got to fix that too. And I think we're all circling around the same place, which is, can we just please focus on the mission critical things that need to be done? And those are staring us right in the face right now.
I don't know. Avenue may not be the right terminology any longer. It may be boulevard. You better check before you start running down that path. Just add a little levity to it, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Always. I know.
Thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Have a great week. Thank you so much. That's Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, District A, folks. We'll be right back. You know, it'd be a lot more fun if you could talk about a leader that actually was a difference maker each and every day, and one that you were incredibly proud of, and you were so excited and bragging and being the ultimate cheerleader for an organization because all of that you are accomplishing. And it's, you know, Harrison Boulevard, really? We don't even know what the name of our streets are. We are the city government, and we have no idea that it's an avenue, not a boulevard. It's called an avenue, not a boulevard. How difficult is this? I mean, it's absolutely incredible. No attention to detail. It's just busy work. We're just spending time and money running around, doing this, doing that. No sense of direction, no sense of order, no sense of structure. It doesn't seem like many people are supervising anybody's work. Somebody in the city administration had to know that it's Harrison Avenue, right? You would think somebody, one person. How many thousands of employees are within the city? And is there a process by which you do these things? This is over and over and over again. I mean, this is scary. Just this lackadaisical attitude, just not on your game, not 100% in. I keep hearing from folks that, you know, we have great employees. I'm sure we do. I don't know what section is responsible for signage. I think I know, but I can't speak with certainty, so I'm not going to say. Well, those folks responsible for that sign need to look at themselves in the mirror, because they're not 100% in. Not by any stretch of the imagination. So now we got to go make new signs, take those signs down, and put new ones up. But it's all right. The taxpayers are paying for it. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Jesse Noel, Regional Director, Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority West, about the millage that you will be voting on if you go to the polls on March 29th, or you early vote this week. And in the back half of the next hour, Yulia Ziskina, Senior Legal Fellow at Rezome, talking about seized Russian assets.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.